this one be so as well, by the help of thy Spirit. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let me first of all just thank everybody for kind thoughts and words and prayers and whatnot. Lord was very kind. It, my experience was kind of like having the flu. You know, you hurt and ache a little bit and kind of tired and worn out for a bit. And after that, why, not that big a difference. So, but I know everybody's experiences are different. I don't have any taste, and I did get that side effect. So my daughter Nanelle made some elderberry juice or whatever. And I think not having any taste may have been a blessing. I take it. My wife was taking some, and it's a little stronger, and it doesn't bother me at all. Yeah. So, anyway, well, I want to do something a little different today. So it's the Sunday before Christmas. In Christmas time, I was just thinking about it and thinking about, well, what do we want to look at? What can we look at that might be a little special or might give us some food for thought? And I was thinking about Christmas time, and every year, Christmas time, the focus is on what? For Christians particularly, the focus is on what? On the birth of Christ, okay? It's on the birth of Christ. And every year, and for some of us, for all of us, that's been a number of years, so some a few more than others, but same thing. Same thing. Every year we come to this day, this time of the year, and we sing songs and we hear songs about Christ being born. We hear messages. We read passages in God's Word, particularly that deal with the birth of Jesus. And I was thinking about the fact that we are told, and there's a lot of focus on people seeing Jesus. Okay? And I just want us to think about that a little bit this morning, because that's obviously important from the standpoint of what we read in Scripture. Because Scripture is how we enter into this as we see what took place. So, just to kind of start with, let's just think about people that saw Jesus. So, the first people that saw Jesus, the infant, were who? The parents, yeah. Mary and Joseph. So, here's Mary holding this baby. And Joseph looking on, and maybe a little fresh straw for the manger and arranging it to make it a little more padded or whatever. And Mary doing the things that a mother does, you know, wrapping this child in the swaddling clothes and nursing this child and caring for this child, just a baby. And when they saw this baby, in fact, isn't that what they saw? A baby. No halo, no super glow, no whatever. She's holding a baby. People saw babies every day. Babies were being born, just like now. You know, there'll be some newborns here in the church, Lord willing, in time here. And those parents will bring those babies, and we'll see babies being held in mother's arms. Now, Mary and Joseph, and we'll talk a little more about this, Mary and Joseph knew. God had revealed to them. And yet, can you imagine holding this baby? Maybe Joseph holding the baby up on the shoulder while Mary's taking care of things that she needs to do and looking at this baby, as parents do, wondering, wonder how this will turn out. I wonder what this child will do or be or whatever in holding the baby. Next people that saw the baby were who? And I'm not trying to be in any chronological or per se, but in the normal course of events as we read it. In fact, if you want to look, turn to Luke chapter 2. We'll look at a number of verses there, a few other ones, but Luke chapter 2, which is obviously a passage that's very familiar. And we had Mary and Joseph in 2:7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then down in verse 16, we read about them being there as the next group comes, beginning in verse 15. It came to pass, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then you know the story, the angels coming. Verse 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So there's our first two. Now we add the shepherds to this group. So they have seen the babe. Verse 20, all the things that they had heard and seen. So we have them seeing this baby. And again, now, I don't know about these shepherds. Depending on who you listen to, they were either the scourge of the earth, just about rough. They were, if you couldn't do anything else, maybe you could be a shepherd. Whether they were that or whether they were, David was a shepherd. Moses tended sheep. So I don't know that all these people were necessarily rough and tough and whatever. Maybe not. But they came and they saw Mary and Joseph and they saw this baby. And again, we'll talk a little more about them in just a little bit. In Luke 2:25, we start reading about Simeon. So it's time for the Lord to be circumcised, 8 days. And they take the Lord to the temple, and here's Simeon. And Simeon takes up this child. Came by the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought down in verse 27, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God, and so forth with what was said there in verse 30, for mine eyes have seen. What did his eyes see? What did Simeon see? He'd seen a baby. He'd seen hundreds of babies. They were bringing Christ to the temple to do according to the law. The Jews constantly were doing that. Simeon saw a baby. But what's recorded, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And we'll talk a little more about these things. And then we've got Anna right after that, seeing, verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser, and so forth, and down in Verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What did Anna see? She saw a baby being held in the arms of its parents, being brought like every other baby. And yet, Scripture tells us something of what she saw that we'll talk about again a little bit more. All right, and then, of course, there would have been others there at the temple as well that would have been involved in this process of Christ being circumcised that saw this baby. We have the story of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 11. Verse 1 tells us there were wise men from the east. Verse 11 tells us, and they came and bowed down and worshiped Christ. What did the wise men see? They saw a baby. Well, he wasn't a baby. Some say maybe 2 years old, thereabouts. I don't know how old. Still small. Still a young child. Looking like every other young child with whom he played and visited. We are told in Luke 2:39, just a little side note, 39 and 40, and when they had performed, Mary and Joseph had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And here's, now we've given this little side note, but don't lose what it's saying. And the child, Jesus, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. All right? So we've got a child that's growing up. He's crawling, then he's walking, learning to talk, just like, as far as I know, every child. Can you imagine his parents watching? Again, Mary and Joseph have a knowledge that is, I won't say unique to them, because certainly Simeon and Anna had some understanding. The shepherds came to some understanding. The wise men had some understanding. But we aren't really told anything in Scripture about as Christ grew up, How he interacted with brothers and sisters, with playmates. So he would go out and be with other children. And how, you know, when they looked, what did they see? You know, just another child. One of them. And it just, you know, the more I thought about it, the more it somewhat amazes me, but with where we're going, I'll bring it together here in a little bit. But just the number of people that saw Jesus, as we're somewhat asked to do or encouraged to do every year. We have the teachers when he's 12 years old, in Luke 2:46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. This is after they had gone and they come back looking. They can't find him, and they come back to the temple and they're looking. And they had been there at the temple. Came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him... These are people seeing a 12-year-old. A 12-year-old. That's how old Jesus is, sitting in the temple. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, again, there's an emphasis over and over of people seeing Jesus. When they saw him, they were amazed. They were amazed. So we have the teachers. We have then, again, another little side note in verse 52. And you read some of these verses, so why is that there? So in verse 52 of Luke chapter 2, 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Okay, he's obedient, he's obeying his parents, he's doing what they tell him to do. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Again, Mary's thinking from time to time. Where are we going? And I've got to believe that Mary had some understanding of Scripture. But certainly, what's going on in her mind and heart? In verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now that, as best I know, is probably the one, what we have that summarizes Jesus in his teens and 20s. That verse. So whatever you want to understand about Jesus in his teens and 20s, you're going to certainly start here, and you're going to have to pick up. So Jesus increased in wisdom. So he's learning, as people do. He's in wisdom and stature. He's growing physically, becoming a man. And in favor with God and man. And what do we know about Jesus? There was no sin in him. But he was growing in favor. And as we look at teenagers and those in their early 20s. I don't know about you, but especially if they're related, but even those in our church, you look at them and you are they going on with the Lord? You know, and what do you see when you kind of see them interacting with their friends and with family? Is there tension? Or is, oh man, they're my best friend, they're whatever term. But Jesus, we're told, was increasing in favor with God and man. You've got to take that and make it be what you choose to make it be in light of Scripture in order to see Jesus. But there are people he was living with every day that were seeing him. And again, my thoughts are on the seeing. We have then his ministry, and we'll talk a little more about things in the ministry. The disciples up front, up close and personal. We have the multitudes, thousands seeing him. Observing him, listening to him, watching him, being impacted by him. Thousands seeing him. And then the trial and the crucifixion. You can go to the Gospels. We have Judas. We have the soldiers. We have his disciples. We have the people that cried out for him to be crucified. We have the two on the crosses beside him that are seeing him. We have the women that scriptures note. We have Mary and John in that interaction. We have Pilate. We have Herod. We've got the civil leaders. We've got the religious leaders. A lot of people that were looking at Jesus when all this was going on. Attention brought to this one person and what they were seeing. And then after his death, we have Joseph of Arimathea in John 19. We won't look at all these. And Nicodemus. They come and get the body and prepare it for burial. What do you think? What did they see? What did they see? They saw a lifeless body. They were looking at Jesus, but here's a lifeless body that they're preparing for burial. And then after the resurrection, we have Mary Magdalene. We have the two on the road to Emmaus. We have the disciples when he came and saw them. And finally, here's us. Here's us. Now, turn to John chapter 1. And this is where I'm going with all this. If you look at verse 14, now you're familiar with the passage in John 1. But here's Christmas time, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus was born. Right? Everything we've been thinking about this infant right there. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right? He lived with us. He lived among the people right there where his family was. And eventually, even during his ministry, he was right there. They saw him. They could touch him. They could see him. They could hear him. Dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. So, we've talked a lot so far about people beholding Jesus. And what'd they see? What'd they see? A baby? Young child? Young man? A minister? A corpse? A resurrected Son of God. But what did they see? And I want us to think a little more now about what these people saw, what we know. In this verse, John summarizes for us that what they saw was somebody full of grace and truth. So what does that mean? If that's what they saw, how was it that they saw? I mean, you're looking at a baby. What about a baby says that there's something full of grace and truth? And I don't think there is any exception to every one that we've talked about that didn't recognize something of the grace and truth. Maybe couldn't explain it. Some of them could. But they saw something of the grace and truth. And as we now participate with them, because we have Scripture, all right, in one sense, in your mind, you can go and see the baby laying in a manger. The Lord's given you a written word to tell you. And that's to let you read and then to experience with the help of the Holy Spirit. Not focusing on a baby per se, but at the same time realizing it's a baby. Like every baby you have ever seen. Flesh and blood. Being held so carefully by his mother. So, what was it that this infant, what did they see? We keep in mind, now we know the verses about the covenant before the foundation of the world, the Father and the Son. But from the time that Adam sinned, what do we immediately have happening? Genesis 3:15. What is our attention drawn to? The promise of the Messiah, a Redeemer. From the beginning of time, from a human perspective, God immediately said, I want you to think about, and in time you will see, a Redeemer. So, did Mary have the scriptures enough to know when Gabriel spoke with her that, okay, this is the promised Messiah? I mean, Gabriel certainly told her some of that. So as she held this infant, was she seeing in this infant the promised Messiah? I mean, I don't know how it couldn't help but go through her mind. Joseph by then knew what was happening. So as they saw this child grow, did their minds reflect? I mean, the entirety of the Old Testament is to give us what? It's to let us see with our mind's eye. It was to let them see a picture. To let them see Christ. Everything in the Old Testament. Leading up. Helping understand. Helping to see in the types and the shadows. To see what in Galatians 4:4, again a verse that's familiar to you, but let me just read it quickly. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come, when it was time for Christ to be born, God sent him forth. God, and again, you almost can hear a conversation. Can't you? Between the Father and the Son? Son, it's time. Now, he didn't have to tell him that, obviously. But God sent forth his Son. It's time. Made of a woman. There's Mary. We're down the process, and boom, we're with Gabriel talking to Mary and all that transpired after that. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. There, we're back to Genesis 3:15. And all of this is happening in Bethlehem because of what took place before the foundation of the world. Right? So is Mary and Joseph seeing that? When John tells us full of grace and truth, are they seeing the promised Redeemer now? I don't know how they couldn't help but see the promised Redeemer. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And back in Luke, when the angels came to the shepherds, what did they tell them? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a baby? A baby? No. For unto you is born this day in the city of a Savior. Now, again, I thought about that and I thought, okay, if these are shepherds that have no clue, if these are ungodly, rough, tough men, what did that mean to them? For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ, the promised anointed one. Now either, and I certainly don't minimize this, the Spirit of God gave them an understanding beyond themselves, or perhaps even the roughest and toughest had knowledge. Paul? And they responded. So, I mean, what do we see about them? And immediately, let's go look. I mean, we've been told about it. Let's go see. And we read that they came and they saw and they left telling everybody of all that they had seen and heard. They started sharing the gospel. Because that's what they were told. They weren't told that there's a baby. They didn't go out, hey, you know what? We saw a baby. Well, good for you. You know, I saw one yesterday too. That's not what. And these little things that we are told that sometimes we just pass over in the Christmas story and the things after the Christmas story. Made of a woman, made under the law, we have grace, we have truth. We have all the prophecies, the fulfilling of every detail concerning the birth, the truth. We have shepherds seeing the Savior. Wise men, what did the wise men see? They saw a king. They bowed before him and worshiped. A child. 2, 3 years old, maybe. And they see a king. Nothing kingly about this child whatsoever. But we have recorded that they came and worshiped this king. Now, again, we are to see Christ through Scripture as all these did. And we can as we consider it. Simeon and Anna, we've seen thy salvation, thy redemption. We have him being circumcised. We see the truth. We have him as a child. And I've mentioned those as we looked at those verses in Luke. As a teenager and a young man, he's in church. He's learning. He's going to the temple. He's understanding. He's growing in favor with God and in favor with man. He's growing physically, mentally, socially, spiritually. In his ministry, in John chapter 2 and verse 11, and we won't have time to look at all these unless I just carry this over some to next week, which I might do. But 2:11, in his first miracle, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, the water into wine, and did what? And manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. What did he do? He did a miracle. What did people see? So water that was turned to wine. Some saw a manifestation of the glory of God. Full. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We see him in Luke 9 as he prayed, in his countenance changing. And in verse 32, there is a statement that says, they saw his glory. as his countenance changed. Over and over and over and over we read, and Jesus, having compassion upon the people, upon the individual, upon whoever it was, Jesus having compassion. See with your mind's eye. That's why it's written for us, so that we can be there and enter in and see this compassionate Savior. These people, the multitudes who need to be taught. And he had compassion, full of grace and truth. And like I say, the number of times you read about Jesus having compassion, if you just take the time and start looking sometimes, look at the word and go to the over and over. Matthew 11:29. He refers to himself as meek and lowly. Meek and lowly. Luke 22, we have him portrayed as the servant. John 13:34, Ephesians 5:2, we have something of the love of Jesus. Romans 15:2, 3, 5, 7, pleasing, his being pleasing to others. And again, we may come back and look at some of these. Philippians 2:8, humble. Colossians 3:13, forgiving. 1 Peter 2:21-23, holy. Matthew 5, fulfilling the law. Luke 22, we see him praying for Peter. John 17, we see him praying for his people. Right? Back up and see him doing that. And again, my thoughts is I was okay. We so quickly and easily can, in one sense, see this babe in the manger, which we're somewhat called to focus on right now. And that's easy to do. But don't stop looking and being with him as he grows and seeing him in his ministry and seeing him going through the trial and the crucifixion and seeing after the resurrection. We see him praying. We see him preaching. Luke 4, chapter 8. We see him being obedient in John 6:38. Obedient to his parents, we read of. Being obedient to his father. We see him bearing witness to the truth in John 18 in the trial. We see him again forgiving. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Luke 23:34. Luke 23:43, to the malefactor on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, while he's dying, full of grace, even as he's dying, full of grace and truth. What we're called upon by God through Scripture to see. God has said from the beginning, I want you to see my Son in whom I am well pleased. And beginning in Genesis, we start seeing Jesus. We get to Luke and we see him in the fullness of time, born. We see him growing. His ministry, his death, burial, resurrection. And if we take a look, turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 44, beginning with verse 44. I'm going to read, there's a number of verses, but I think it's a good summary. Luke 24, beginning with verse 44, and he said unto them, and this is Jesus, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. All right, Jesus. Hey, if you're reading these, you ought to be seeing me, because it's about me, not in a boastful. But that's what all these things were about. Then, what? Opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures that they could see. He opened their eyes and they could start seeing what some of these that we've considered saw. And said unto them, thus it is written. All right. It's a little word to us to tell us, hey, you've got the opportunity to see a lot of this yourself. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You've seen it. You've seen it. Why it all happened. Why in the fullness of time did Mary bring forth a son, the seed of the woman? Right? And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, the ascension of Christ. And what happened? Because their understanding had been opened, they had seen him, and here's where we are today. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Good tidings of what? Great joy. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple. We talk about an admonition to be part of a church. Well, there it is. Other places as well, but certainly. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So, today, the days to come, take time to do as all these others did. Take time to look. Look at Jesus. What do you see? Who do you see? What goes through your mind? This is the promised Messiah. Something that the Father and the Son did for me before ever time began. Something that in the fullness of time, God said, it's time, Son. I'm sending you forth. Just as we covenanted. And we see a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. For unto you is born this day a Savior. The Savior who is Christ the Lord. May we see him. Not just the babe in the manger. But don't miss it. Don't miss it. That's so important. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. You can't miss it. God gave us those details. But don't just let Christmas come and go and not let all of that become part of what we see and consider all through the year. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for Christ, our Savior. We're thankful for that time, humanly speaking, when it was the time for the Savior to come, and we beheld him. We're thankful, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to behold him. Lord, through your word, by the help of the Spirit of God, help us, Lord, help us to behold Christ. Today, Lord, even in our worship, time of worship, Lord, every day as we just stop and think of our Savior, that we've seen him, and may it fill us with great joy. May it help us in our worship. May we go and tell to others, spread the good news of all that we have seen, all that we have heard, all that we have come to understand by your grace, your mercy, your love. Oh, may it be indeed a time today, throughout the year, of peace, joy, love, as we experience the Christmas story. Thank you, Father, for your great love to us. Bless us now and the remainder of this day, especially as we would come back here in a short time to worship. Help us, we pray, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.